Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. I have an exciting interview lined up for you today. I recently talked with Mitch Glazer, the president of Chosen People Ministries, and we had a wonderful conversation. So sit back, relax, have coffee, have a bagel, and enjoy the program. That is the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel, and this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And I'm excited to tell you that the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop is back up and running. I'm sorry I don't have the exact days and hours just yet, but you can call 585-288-0670 for more information. Praise the Lord. Here's Deborah Clady and Torno. Thank you.
Hello, this is Deborah Klein Iantorno.
And Vince Iantorno.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. As you'll hear from the interview, Mitch Glazer has many talents. Well, one of them is composing songs. This next song, Yeshua's Name, was composed by none other than Mitch Glazer himself. Enjoy.
The blind men see and the lame men walk. Sorrow tends to praise.
Oh, in Yeshua's name, Yeshua, Yeshua, Messiah, he has come to live and die and rise again to save his people from their sins. Away we got to save his people from their sins.
Demons flee and captives are set free.
Oh, in Yeshua's name.
Mercy's found and the grace of God above.
Oh,
that's a great song recorded by Liberated Wailing Wall, and the message is simple but right on target. Yeshua came to die for our sins. He came to save us from our sins. That is why I'm on the air, my friends, because I believe that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah. He was prophesied with many scriptures in the Jewish Bible, and he wants to set us all free from our sin. Praise God. All right, here is another one of my sponsors, Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester. I highly recommend them. Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013 with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com. I have this really cool Israeli Hebrew worship CD, And this next song, you might recognize the melody. The group Lamb recorded a song called As the Mountains. It's based on Psalm 125:2, As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. And here is that exact same song in Hebrew, Habotchim Ba'Adonai.
Habotchim Ba'Adonai Ke'har Tzion Lo Yimot Le'olam Yeshev Habotchim Ba'Adonai Ke'har
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for a wonderful interview with Mitch Glazer. He's a Jewish man who found his Messiah. Speaking of which, Marty Goetz recorded this really cool song called A Jew Born Anew.
I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13. The greatest bar mitzvah that you've ever seen. The temple on the corner of Mayfield and Lee was filled with my friends and my family. All of them proud as proud could be, with catering far as the eye could see, complete with a chopped liver statue of me. Now they ask me how I could go so wrong, and why all of a sudden I'm singing this song. They say, son, you're deserting your fathers of old, so why don't you just come back to the fold? You're such a nice boy, or weren't you told that when you were born they broke the mold? So what do you need with this stuff you've been sold? But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to Yeshua, from a Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a schmo like I was, just so I could win the prize and be with my Messiah in the sky. They say on Bar Mitzvah day I became a man. I tried to live that way, done the best that I can, but I've been worried since way back when, 'cause I've never done anything great since then. And though I could live till 110 and never have need of a fountain pen, I might never succeed in the sight of men, and they won't let me get bar mitzvah again. But it's a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done, when I believe what they said was true, that Yeshua is God's only son. Well, I've done many things and I don't do a few, but this one thing I do made me a Jew born anew. Yes, through and through I'm a Jew born anew. So hallelujah to you, Yeshua, from this Jew who never knew Yah could come to die for a real Shlomiel, one who couldn't tell you were the long-awaited Holy One of Israel. And all of you who don't know Yeshua, let me introduce him to you. He's the blessed Messiah. He's the Lion of Judah. And he wants to do to you what he did to me. To live in a schlep like I was, yep, it's true, on Christmas morn, the truest Jew that ever was born. So And that's no lie, la lie, lie, la lie, lie, lie. A Jew born anew. Am I?
Hello, this is Marty Goetz, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now here's Corey Bell with Lev Shelo, Hatov Shimcha. Again, that was Corey Bell with Lev Shelo, and an interesting fact about this song is that it was actually written by Steve McConnell, who used to write a lot of Messianic music, and we love all of his songs. So thank you for listening. Soon, you'll hear my interview with Mitch Glazer. For right now, here is a word from Earl Schillinger, station manager at WDCX.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Just a reminder that today's show is pre-recorded. There won't be a contest right now, but if you'd like to win something, make a comment on my Bagels and Blessings Facebook page or send me an email at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com and you'll be entered into a drawing to win a wonderful prize. I want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Psalm 122:6. All right, here is my wonderful interview with Mitch Glazer. Enjoy, darling, enjoy. Mitch Glazer, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
What a thrill to be here, Ethel. Nice to be with you.
Well, I'm really
Virtually.
I'm excited because I kind of think you're one of the big fish. No pressure. So, Mitch, tell me a little bit about your background. Did you grow up in a religious Jewish home?
Well, I was supposed to be religious, Ethel. I was born in the Holy Land, where I now live, Brooklyn. And then moved to the borough of Queens, and my grandparents on my mom's side were ultra-religious. My grandparents on my dad's side were not very religious. So since they didn't care as much, they were culturally Jewish, celebrated all the holidays, but they were not active synagogue goers, etc. And so my mom's parents probably had their way of it, and I went to a Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills synagogue, which was in Queens. And I went to Hebrew school, and that was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days a week, junior congregation on Friday and Saturday. So I guess I got Sunday off or something like that. And so I was raised around a lot of religious Jewish people. Half my friends were yeshiva bachas. They went to yeshiva, of course. I went to Jewish sleepaway camp every summer that was run by an Orthodox Jewish guy. And when I wasn't at that camp, we were in the Borscht Belt, sort of south of you. And so we were in the Catskills, you know,
yeah,
near Monticello. And so I was steeped in everything. And so, I mean, I didn't really know any Gentile kids. In my area of Queens, everybody probably from public school, even into junior high school for the most part, were Jewish. And then when I got to high school, then I began meeting more non-Jews. But I never met a real believer in Jesus, I think, until I was 18 or 19 years old.
Wow. So you were immersed in all things Jewish until high school. And tell me, how was your experience meeting someone that believed in Jesus? What did you think about that?
Well, the first guy I met was when I was a full-blown hippie, and I was hitchhiking, and I was at a rest stop, and this guy came up to me, big beard, big guy, and started telling me about Jesus. And I think I began yelling at him, and, you know, and told him to leave me alone. So that was my first encounter. Then to make a very, very, very wonderful but long story short, my two best Jewish hippie friends, Ephraim and Joni, whom I think you know, and both were living in Israel, they came to faith through the testimony of a Gentile Christian ex-biker, ex-hippie couple who were living in Southern Oregon as part of a basically sort of a hippie Christian commune. Now, a lot of those were pretty weird at the time. This one was not weird. It was just unusual. And the people who led it were, of course, Holy Spirit Mavericks, but really, really wonderful people. And so my two friends came to faith, and they shared the gospel with me. I was living in San Francisco and working 60 miles south of San Francisco during the week at an outdoor education ecology camp run by Marin County. Knew nothing about ecology. I was a New Yorker, but you know, but I could stay ahead of the fifth graders, which was my goal in life. And so I did my best, and they kept writing me letters telling me how Jesus had saved them and how they were finding new joy and new hope. And of course, I just got angrier and angrier. I went up to Oregon on break, kind of a school break. We ran by semesters, and I tried to talk them out of it. I didn't do a very good job. Came back to San Francisco with a Bible and began reading it. And I have to admit, I love the Bible. I mean, I really, because I was raised Orthodox, we probably studied the Bible and Rashi and some other stuff a lot more than kids who were raised Reform or conservative. We were really modern Orthodox, although my home was not very religious. But that's what I knew. And I actually always liked the Bible. So I wasn't sure if I believed in the God of the Bible, but I liked the Bible. And so I was reading it now as an adult in English, not Hebrew, and I understood every word instead of every sixth or seventh word or eighth word. I really, really enjoyed it. And I started comparing the relationship with God that King David, Abraham, and others had with my friends Ephraim and Jeannie and the other young people that were at this hippie commune. And I said, you know, I think I really want what they have, and it's right here in my own Bible, so I can have it without Jesus, because if I have it with Jesus, I have to tell my mother and I'm dead meat. You know? And so I prayed and asked God to show me the truth. And of course, that night I found the New Testament in a phone booth, the only phone booth in the middle of the campground. Thank God it was a Good News for Modern Man. So it was modern English. I could read it and know these and thous and stuff. And I just fell in love with Jesus. And over a couple of days, I read the New Testament, actually 3 days. I believed that he was God in the flesh. I believed he was the Messiah. I believed he died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I had no idea what to do with that information. I had no idea what to do about being Jewish. But I know in my heart of hearts, even though I didn't really know what a sinner's prayer was, that I, in one way or another, I'd given my life to Jesus. And I woke up different. Not different enough. I actually thought if I believed in Jesus, I would never sin again. That was not true. Just asked my friends and my wife and my kids. And so,
no.
And so I went back and shared the gospel with all my hippie Jewish friends. Eventually, God began settling me down, and I got discipled by some Jewish believers, went to Bible college, and went out to seminary in California, met my beautiful wife, Zahava, whom I married, and who's also a Jewish believer. And God has been very, very, very good to us.
Wow. Well, I have to ask, nice Jewish boy who had all this Jewish education, and how did your family react to your decision to believe that Jesus is the Messiah?
Oh, they just were thrilled, Ethel.
Uh-huh, right.
Yeah, oh my gosh. You know, we partied all night, and so my mother and father, after I told them, I could have told them in a maybe a better way, but I told them that I was a believer. And of course, they had no frame of reference for it. It was 1970. They had absolutely no, 71. Now, they had no frame of reference for it. I may as well told them that I was a Martian child and dropped on their doorstep in a basket, you know. And so they just didn't understand. And I, of course, told my parents they were going to hell if they didn't believe in Jesus.
Oh, great.
And that probably wasn't a good thing to say.
Oh, my gosh.
But my parents said, okay, listen, you can stay with us tonight, but you got to leave tomorrow. And if you want to stay, then you can't believe this anymore. You can't read the New Testament. You can't go to a church and no crosses. And I wasn't sure where they got the cross thing from. I mean, I know where they got it from, but not for me. And so I left for a day or two with spent time with a hippie Gentile Christian friend, ex-Catholic, who had become a believer in Jesus. And my parents finally called me and said, come home, we're sorry, you know.
Aww.
And I went home. I came home and we tried to make up. But then I, you know, maybe I didn't do the best. I was starting Bible college and living at home and commuting. And I started a Bible study in my parents' living room. We had like 50 kids, 40 of them were Jewish. And the sisterhood in the of the local Reform temple got a little upset with me and complained to my parents. So it became quite a balagan. And eventually I moved into the Bible college dorms, which was probably better for everybody.
Yeah.
And my mom eventually, we believe, came to faith on her deathbed. It's a long, long story, but I think it may have happened for real. My dad, who was far more open to the gospel, I thought, all those years, as far as I know, never came to faith. And no one else in my family has come to the Lord.
Not
I have
yet.
Two sisters, brother-in-laws, nephews, nieces, cousins, and I've shared the gospel with so many of them, but, you know, we still have hope while they're alive.
Amen. So, Mitch, tell me, how did your life change after you decided that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah? What changed in your life?
Well, I stopped smoking so much pot, although I'm thinking about going back to it, Ethel, because now I can do it legally. No, I keep telling people who say, pot's harmless. I said, are you crazy? You never smoked it. It'll make you get fat and dumb. But anyway, that's my opinion. So, I stopped doing drugs. I stopped dealing drugs, obviously. And my personality changed. And, you know, I remember when I was looking at my friends' lives, it wasn't so much their faith I was looking at. It was what they had become. They were so much nicer, so much kinder, so much more generous. And that was really driving me nuts. And I think and I hope that I became more like them and all of us like Jesus. And so it wasn't so much the change in faith or, of course, I'm still Jewish. I celebrate the Jewish holidays. Chosen People, the ministry I work with, plants Messianic congregations all over the world. And so, no, it's not. I mean, of course, I'm still Jewish, but I never thought I wasn't Jewish because I was raised in such a strong Jewish home. It was very, in some ways, it was unthreatening to me. Because, you know, I was a rebellious Jewish guy. Who are you to tell me I'm not Jewish, you know?
Right.
Jews don't have popes. And so I never was threatened by that. But I feel like who I was as a person was certainly made whole again. And I don't think before I was a believer, I really recognized the nature or the level of my own sin. And as I grow in grace and a believer now about 50 years. And as I move on in the Lord and grow, hopefully, as you get closer to the Lord, you get more and more grateful for forgiveness because you realize just how high the standard of holiness and perfection really is. And for the Lord to allow someone like me to be included in his family is just amazing to me.
Oh my, of course. Now, I know a lot of people listening want to know the best way to share Messiah with their Jewish friends and family and neighbors. And what advice do you have for them to help them in sharing the good news?
I think, first of all, of course, the bridge of friendship is always the most important bridge to cross. And I hope that you will go out of your way to be friends with Jewish people, or if you're a Jewish believer, go out of your way not to offend your family, you know, and build good relationships with your family. And, you know, don't stand up and preach in the middle of a Passover Seder and cause your grandparents to have heart attacks. And so I think there's ways to be sensitive.
Amen. Very good.
And so build that bridge. And even if you're not a friend, but you're a work associate or college or university friend, you know, just go out of your way to become a friend. If you become a good friend, then I'm sure other people will want to be your friend. So I think that that's really a good way. The other thing to do, particularly if you're not Jewish, is to know enough about Jewish people and the historic relationship between Judaism and Christianity to know enough to try and see the gospel through Jewish eyes. Try and see it as a Jewish person. And then you'll become far more sensitive because I've got so many people say, why can't the Jewish people see it? Don't they read the Old Testament? Don't they read Isaiah 53, which I wrote a book on? I mean, you know, don't they see it? And the truth is, no, Jewish people don't see it. We weren't raised that way. And Christianity doesn't have the best reputation in the Jewish community. And so if you say, Lord, help me see my Jewish friend help me see the gospel through the eyes of my Jewish friend, and then help me help my Jewish friend understand that the gospel really, in its purest sense, is Jewish, and it's Jewish-friendly. And a lot of what's happened historically through the years to drive a wedge and a chasm between Jewish people and quote-unquote Christians has been done by non-Christian Gentiles who thought they were Christians, or if they were Christians, only God knows, they were misguided. And because if you read the Sermon on the Mount, I've been reading it this week, and if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you will see clearly that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. How could you be an enemy of the Jewish people and be blessed with being a peacemaker? Well, of course you can. And so you have to help Jewish people see a better side to Christianity and probably a better side to Jesus.
And what do you think is the biggest obstacle to our fellow Jewish brothers and sisters learning the truth?
Probably that chasm that Jewish people genuinely, sincerely believe, even if they can't articulate all the reasons why, that when a Jewish person becomes a believer in Jesus, they're no longer Jewish. And even if someone's a more secular Jewish person, they're not going to be quick to abandon who they are as a Jew. And even if they don't identify religiously, sociologically, and historically, and as part of the Jewish community, having Jewish family members, and Jewish people still, even with all the surveys done by Pew and by others, which show us the state of the Jewish community as being sort of not as religious as many people think, still the community commitments are very deep. And so Jewish people don't want to believe in something or someone that they feel will exorcise them from the Jewish community.
Of course. So you are the director of Chosen People Ministries. Tell us about that ministry and what exactly is your role and how can people contribute if they would like to do so?
Thank you, Ethel. But I mean, I don't have a role. I have a bagel.
Well, excuse me.
There's a hole in my role. So
you're funny.
Chosen People Ministries began with the old guys on the block in 1894. A Hasidic rabbi came to faith on the streets of the Lower East Side of Manhattan through the testimony of a Polish Presbyterian missionary to the Jews who was preaching the gospel in Yiddish. Happens all the time, really. And so Rabbi Cohen came to faith after listening to this guy, and was radically transformed and began sharing the gospel with his fellow Jewish people, studied in the UK for a little bit, Scotland actually, came back and in 1894 founded Chosen People Ministries and almost immediately moved to Brooklyn, which was, you know, there was already a bridge, but most people got there by ferry. There were no subways. And he started Chosen People Ministry in a cleaned up horse stable. And since that time, 126 years ago, Chosen People is now operating in 20 countries around the globe and two dozen cities in North America. And we've probably planted or involved probably close to 40 Messianic congregations. We have a staff, if you go globally, of over 200 people. And I spend most of my time chasing them around, trying to help them and understand what they're doing and praying for them. And so I live and work out of in Brooklyn, I live and work out of our New York headquarters. My wife, Sahab, is our chief programmer. And also, she's very involved with our Charles Feinberg Center for Messianic Jewish Studies. We have a full Master of Divinity degree in Messianic Jewish Studies. And if you're interested in learning more about going to get a seminary degree, from Talbot Theological Seminary, part of Biola University. It's a genuine seminary degree, but it is a Messianic Jewish Studies degree, and it's taught by people like my wife and myself, who have PhDs and decades of experience in Jewish ministry. And Zahava just finished teaching a class on the Siddur, the Jewish prayer book, and in the fall semester she'll be teaching Jewish history, which is exactly what she has her PhD in. But we're teaching biblical, theological studies, Jewish studies, and it's very exciting. And if you'd like to know more about the Charles Feinberg Center, F-E-I-N-B-E-R-G, you can go to chosenpeople.com, or you can go to the Charles Feinberg website. And if you would like to support Chosen People Ministries, we'd love to have you as a partner in our ministry. And you can go to chosenpeopleministries.com, and you will have no problem figuring out how to send a gift. And even if you aren't able to send a gift, we'd love to send you our newsletter, our prayer letter, and have you part of the praying mishpacha. That would be great.
Thank you, Mitch. Now, you mentioned you'd written a book about Isaiah 53. Are there other books that you have written, and are they available on the chosenpeople.com site?
Well, they sure are, Esther. I've written a number of books and co-edited a number of books. I co-edited a book on the Fall Feast of Israel with my wife, Zahava, and that is published by Moody Press, and you can get that on our website and other places. We've done four books with Kriegel Publications on topics of real interest, I think, to those interested in bagels and blessings. And we did one on To the Jew First, which is sort of a more deeply theological book, but I edited it with Dr. Daryl Bach, a Jewish believer who teaches at Dallas Theological Seminary, and who is a board member of Chosen People. We've done one on the gospel according to Isaiah 53, which goes into a lot more depth than my book, Isaiah 53, Explained. We've done one on the people, the land, and the future of Israel, which deals with Israel's right to the land and some future prophecy. And we did one called Messiah in the Passover. And, of course, you know what that is if you've been listening to Apple for a while. But Messiah in the Passover is also a 350-page book that includes everything you ever wanted to know about Passover, including recipes and a Haggadah, so you can take your whole family through it. But it's a very in-depth book on the topic. And so those are just some of the books that are available on our website.
Wow. Sounds like chosenpeople.com is the place to go for lots of cool information and resources.
It sure is.
Excellent, excellent. Well, before we end our time together, is there any particular prayer request you have for you, your family, your ministry, anything you'd like the listeners to be praying for?
Yes, I'd like to. I mean, I would love to. Of course, a number of the folks on our staff have had COVID. We haven't had anybody pass away. I have had a few dear pastor friends who have passed away from COVID, who normally should not have. So if you could pray for the health and safety of our staff and for my own family. I just found out that a bunch of my family members just tested positive. And so if you could pray, that would be great. I know that a lot of people are in COVID prayer mode, and we never want to stop. And then secondly, pray for our ministries all over the globe, but of course, pray especially for Israel. We have about 20 staff members in Israel. We have two major centers in Israel, and God is really blessing that ministry quite virtually right now. Israel's in a massive lockdown, as you know. But I would so appreciate your prayers for our Israeli staff. And we're doing direct evangelism, congregational planting, discipleship training, and ministering extensively to a beautiful group of Holocaust survivors who are getting older and older and older. And many of them who we minister to have passed away because of COVID-19. So we would appreciate your prayers for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I will be praying. We will all be praying for these requests and for the Lord to bless you and give you all that you need for your ministry. And personally, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to be my guest today. And I want you to please say hi to your beautiful, wonderful wife. I haven't seen either of you in such a very long time, but I have wonderful memories of our time together in New York City way back in the early 90s.
We have wonderful, wonderful memories of you too, especially your dog watching for us.
Yes. Aw. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. And I hope to talk with you again soon.
Love to. And we have others on the Chosen People staff who would be great to interview.
Ooh, send me emails with information and contacts, and I'll be right on it. Thank you so much, Mitch.
Okay, Ethel. God bless you.
You too. Shalom for now.
Everybody, shalom, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed that fun interview with Mitch Glazer. Next up, here's Becca Shea. The song is called Yeshua.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
While we're on the subject of Yeshua, let's not stop now. Ted Pierce has a beautiful song called Bless the Name Yeshua.
We worship you, O Lord, for you alone are worthy to receive all honor. Spotless peace offering you have given.
Adonai, vayismorecha. Yair Adonai panavalecha, vikunecha. Yes Adonai panavalecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.